Welcome to the Smiling Homeschooler Podcast. I'm your host, Ben Wilson. On this week's show, my wife, Riss, and I are reading some of your questions and comments about how this school year went and things you want to do differently next year. We also talk about the transition from school to life beyond. Thank you to Teacher Textbooks for sponsoring this week's podcast. So, let's get started. Well, welcome everyone to the Smiling Homeschooler Podcast. This week, it's me and my wife, Rissa.
Hi.
My dad, as you can tell, obviously is not here. He is traveling down to Florida right now with the whole rest of the family. They are going to the FPEA Homeschooling Convention, which is always an incredible convention. And if you're anywhere within a few states, I would say it's worth going to because they always have it at a giant, beautiful resort, and it can be like a mini vacation. I think this year it's at the Rosin Shingle Creek, which is really nice, but not as nice as the Gaylord Palms, which is just gorgeous, huge hotel. It's always a highlight. So basically, it's just my wife, Rissa, and I, and then my younger brother, Sam, and his wife, and my sister, Kat. All the rest of them went, even the other one engaged, and Rissa's sister, who's engaged to my brother, they even went down, which is pretty rare. So they're all down in Florida. It's beautiful weather down there. Up here, it's, I think today, 59. Was a high of like 59 and rainy. So hopefully it warms up here. We're not loving that, but I'm sure we'll get there. But today we were going to talk a little bit about, we asked a question on Facebook. The question we asked was, we're wrapping up the year of homeschooling. What would you like to do the same or differently next year? What worked? What didn't? How can you adjust next year to make it more enjoyable for everyone? So we just said, you know, if you have any kind of comments, questions, and we had a bunch of awesome feedback and a bunch of good comments that we're going to go through some of them. Also a couple questions for Riss and I. And just talk about summer, kind of transitioning from school to real life, I guess you could say, or graduation. So we're going to go ahead and get started with that. But the first one that we thought was really good was Mia said, I would like to hear each of your stories about your transition from homeschooling into the beyond. How did you each find what you were passionate about and how did you pursue it? Jobs, college, etc. How did a family play a part in that? So I thought, you know, we'd talk a little bit about that. And maybe, Riss, if you want to talk first, kind of your maybe the last couple years of high school, kind of what you were thinking going forward and kind of what influenced you through that.
Yeah. So my last 2 years of high school, I did dual credits at the colleges here in town, Grace College and Ivy Tech. At the time, I thought that I was going to pursue counseling, and I still think that's going to play some part in my life. It just looks a little different than what I even thought then. So right after I graduated, I got a fast food job at Culver's, and I worked there for a few years and went into management. So I was, just a shift manager there. And then from there, I was a manager at a Maurice's store. It's a retail. Still not thinking that, I think that's right around when I met you. And my thoughts for going to college, you know, to further education and counseling kind of changed as when I met you. I kind of just began to see family and my passion for being a mom kind of got stronger. That changed. And so after that, we got married. And then pretty quick after we got married, I was thinking like, okay, yeah, I really want to be a mom. So it kind of, my passion changed. I still think I will do something with, you know, counseling or whatever. I would love to do that. But I don't know.
When I met you, were you even thinking like college was how you're going to go to do counseling? Because I didn't remember you ever mentioning that.
No, but there was another opportunity. I went to a biblical counseling week-long training, and I thought maybe that it was where I would end up. It's in Lafayette. It's like 2 hours away. So I thought maybe that's what I was going to do. There was a girls' home there that I was like, okay, yeah, this is where I'm supposed to go. And I really, really thought that. And then I came back home and then I met you like a week after. And then it all kind of changed from there.
And that passion, I think, was pretty early because just of some of the things that she went through in her life, but earlier. So, I mean, that passion was pretty early seated there, I think, and just seeing the power that that can do. So that was, I think, she kind of had that strong focus. And then even after that, once that changed, she always had a super strong passion for family, it feels like. And so that was always...
Yeah, like I always wanted to do both. And I think I will still, but right now I'm, you know, raising our babies and I'm loving that. So I just feel, yeah, it can change and what you think's going to happen and where you think, okay, this is, you know, God can change that in a second. So.
Which was always, I'm always a little bit jealous of like my brother Sam, who, you know, he from really as long as I can remember, he was always super artistic. He was, you know, really, when we'd draw something, he would, his would be incredible and mine would be just the most basic thing ever. And he always really from, I don't know, probably early, probably middle school or something, he knew he wanted to do animation. And so he got, you know, he just started teaching himself animation and he stuck with it and went to school for it or did like an online school with some of the Pixar teachers and stuff like that. Incredibly, you know, really good. And now that's what he does full time, you know, and that's something that I was always kind of wish I was like, because not necessarily the artistic side, but it was just he was so laser focused of this is what I'm going to do. This is what I'm putting my effort behind. You know, he went to got this learning for it, specifically that, you know, he spent, you know, 18 months or a couple years learning that versus 4 years just to not even be as equipped as he was for that. So I think that was really cool. But, you know, that was always something he just was so focused. Whereas me, you know, my skills weren't as like job apparent. It wasn't like, this is what I'm passionate about. This is what I'm going to go get a job doing. So I was always kind of like really frustrated during like, I would say high school on for a while there, just because I felt like I was just kind of unsure, you know, and really everyone puts a lot of like the expected thing is you ask the kid who's like pretty much 14 and up. So where are you going to school, sonny? Or where do you want to go, you know, do for a job or career? And it's like they're supposed to have it all figured out what school they're going to, all that kind of stuff. And I just felt like one, that was dumb because I didn't even have like that didn't mean a lot to me. But two, I didn't have that job that I was working towards, which I don't even think is realistic now, but that's what I kind of assumed. So one thing I started is I started doing College Plus, you know, because I thought maybe I'd do law or something like that. And I was like, well, I can get a degree inexpensively. And, you know, I know for my sake, that'd be something I'd probably, unfortunately, like to have, even though now I'm not sure. But anyways, you know, they made you do some like life purpose planning, which was kind of going through, kind of just thinking through what your strengths are, what your weaknesses are, and kind of helps you just kind of look at yourself, you know. And then I got that done. I worked at a AT&T for a while during that, and that kind of slowed me down. Quit that to finished it up, and then I worked in sales and tech for Staples, and then I moved into the job I am doing currently, which is like internet marketing, website development, sales, stuff like that. So, you know, nothing has to do with anything that I'm doing now, but a book that was really influential for me was called Just Do It or Just Do Something, which really good book, because I just kind of was like, I got to know what I'm going to do before I do it. And the premise of the book is like, God may speak to you through you showing you opportunities once you just start doing something. And I think that's really powerful, especially for someone who, you know, a lot of kids, a lot of teens, everyone, I don't think, is not going to necessarily know what they're going to do for the rest of their life instantly. So
yeah, giving them something, it can change that, as you, you know, get involved with different things, meet different people. Yeah, like I wasn't thinking, okay, I'm going to end up in Lafayette. But when I was there, I really felt like God was telling me, okay, this is what I have for you. But it ended up not being. Right. So it's like, yeah, just really taking time to pray and ask God, like, what he has for you.
And just taking actions, because that'll open yourself up for more opportunities. I feel like for your kid, you know, if you have, you know, high school age kids or something like that, I mean, letting them do work in workplaces, because if they're really good, develop a good work ethic, I think that, you know, other people around them will notice that. And they may even open up an opportunity where someone's like, hey, you like what you're doing here? Would you want to be, you know, apprentice with me? Or, you know, my brother Ike, he went to a local electrical heating HVAC company and they were willing to train him and teach him a lot. And that's been super beneficial for him. So, you know, I think those kind of things are important to just let
the tail end of that question was, how did family play a part in that? And I'm just thinking like how my parents were just so on board with whatever I was thinking I was doing. Like when I was there for the counseling seminar, and I called my mom when I was when I went to the girls' home, and you know, I called her after just crying, just saying, okay, like, this is what I think this is what I'm gonna do, and she was all for it. And then, you know, I came back a couple weeks later and I met Ben, and she was so excited about that, mm-hmm. and just so for it. And she's, you know, obviously so for what we're doing now, is right. having children, and she's loving that. So yeah, her and my dad were just so supportive, and really whatever I was thinking I was gonna be doing.
I mean, mom and dad were always great at that too. I mean, dad wrote a book called Dream Big, just because, you know, he understands that let the people around you dream, because if it's a bad dream, what's the worst that can happen? And two, God's gonna squash those dreams himself if it's something that, you know, is not for them. But I mean, you never know. And so they were always really good at not being like, well, son, I really want you to go get a six-figure job right away, you know, doing engineering, you know, like, they didn't care about that kind of thing. They just wanted us to be able to support our families, work hard, you know, have time for the things that matter. And so they were really good about not putting that on us, and also really supporting us, though, in areas that we needed it or wanted to. So I definitely think that's really good.
That was a good question.
I want to thank Teaching Textbooks for all their support of the Smiling Homeschooler podcast. Our families used Teaching Textbooks for many years, and we have loved every minute of it. Their new 3.0 version of the curriculum is better than ever, and you can access it from Windows, Macs, Chromebooks, and even smartphones. Every math problem is explained and demonstrated in an easy-to-understand way that takes the stress and responsibility away from you. Teaching Textbooks stores your child's grades so you can easily ensure that they are learning, and you can check in on their progress. Teaching Textbooks makes math fun, and you can visit their website, teachingtextbooks.com, to check out our free trial and view a sample lesson. You can also visit their booth at your local homeschooling convention. We want to thank Teaching Textbooks for all their support. So another one of the other comments we had, someone who said she did something this year that she worked for, was Margot F. She said, I did more videos and books on tape for learning this year, and it was a hit with my boys. I want to do more next year. Now, with books on tape, I'm assuming she means audiobooks, because it's hard to get tapes nowadays. But I totally think that is awesome. I mean, obviously not all kids learn audio just by listening to something. But I mean, growing up, me and my brother especially, we listened to, I mean, so many audiobooks when we were playing Lego, when we were doing going to sleep, and it was really awesome. I mean, we got to listen to Lord of the Rings and a bunch of Jim Weiss's books, which were Gia Hinty books, or we listened to the Your Story Hours, or we listened to the Focus on the Family Radio Theater, which were amazing. If you haven't checked those out, you definitely should. Some of them are on YouTube as well, like the Chronicles of Narnia series, but loved books on tape, and I think that can be a great thing to do. Did you guys ever listen to books on audio or anything?
My older sister did. I was just thinking, reading that, I remember, I don't know what grade, like middle school, and my history books, I mean, I just remember reading those thinking, this is never gonna end, this is horrible. I would get to the end of the page and just be like, what were they even talking about? I don't even know what I'm reading. I was just like, no, it just was not clicking for me. And then my mom got, I'm trying to remember what it was called, Travel Through History or something like that. And it was this, basically, could have been like a documentary. Well, not really. I don't know. It was this guy that would go to the places. Right. And so you watched the DVDs, and I loved that. I mean, I learned so much more watching that than I did reading the books. Like, for me, that was just... Yeah. The best for
someone else history. In one of the comments did say something about any history suggestions, because they were having a tough time with history. And
I think for like a 7 or 8
year old. She said, Michelle Johnson said, looking for recommendations for history curriculum for a 6 and 7 year old. That's pretty young. So
I think it was called Drive Through History.
Yeah, Drive Through History. It was so fun. I mean, I think the biggest thing is, if you have kids who just are hating it, is stop with the textbooks or whatever else you're using that they don't like and aren't getting anything out of, and try to make it feel real. So whether that's, I remember we played the Where in Time is Carmen Sandiego, or watched the Liberty Kids, or we, you know, find something locally, because there are historical things everywhere around any place in the country, basically. Something. It doesn't have to be a major event, but go do a field trip there, just because that will make it feel more real and connected, and that's super important. And then maybe say, hey, let's read this good book on this topic, you know, that's just simple, doesn't have to, maybe it's, you know, historical fiction. And obviously, like, the curriculum is easier because you don't have to plan it or come up with anything. But I think sometimes they can get really stale and not engaging. But
yeah.
So that would be, I mean, maybe kind of work them together. But also, Diana Waring has some awesome history curriculum that you can check out as well. And then there's also some great comments on there. So if you want to go check those out.
Yeah, it looked like there's a lot of...
The Knotgrasses have a really good one, which you might want to check out. But then also we had a great comment from, I think it was Cheryl. She said, Monday lunch with mom and dad is something that she did this year. Eight kids rotating, so every week is someone's Monday. Great one-on-one time with the kids. And then she said, different. She wanted to be more consistent with our start time. I struggle to stick into a schedule because this life just happens. And then her question was either of you a sleepy teenager that didn't seem to function well in the morning? If so, how'd your parents handle that? I think the lunch with mom or dad is a cool idea.
I think that's so fun.
I mean, I think that's awesome. And if you can do that, that's great. I mean, our family, we didn't really do that. There was a little while where dad would take a couple of us boys out for breakfast, but that wasn't super, super consistent. But I think something like that's cool. We did go to lunch a lot though, as a family, like we'd go to Burger King and play in the playground and, you know, eat lunch with mom and dad. So now, even now on Saturdays, we meet with most of our family at McDonald's and we'll do that.
Pretty much every Saturday.
So I think, you know, eating together as a family is really cool. She said, you know, more consistent start times, schedule becomes, cause life just happens, you know, that's awesome. But, you know, for others, if, you know, if your schedule is just stressing you out, then I think it's okay to not have a super tight schedule. But to the question, were you or any of your siblings sleepy or anything like that?
No. I would roughly get up. We never had like a time like, okay, you get up at this time and we start school at this time. It would be kind of like roughly like, okay, we wake up at 8:30 and start by 9:30 or 10, you know? But I think the flexibility that homeschooling can bring with that is awesome, because if I slept in and I just wasn't with it in the morning, I could do my school in the afternoon, right. You know?
Yeah.
Just do it in the couple hours in the afternoon.
We were never really, you know, most of our family, well, I shouldn't say that because some of my brothers have been, but we were pretty early birds in the way. I mean, we just always, you know, woke up pretty early. I never was like, honestly, I can only remember a couple times in my life where I've ever slept till like 10. And those were usually after being up for like multiple days or something like that. But normally it was pretty early. But also we went to bed early. So, you know, if you don't have any, you know, bedtime, you know, it sounds like a little kid thing, but if they don't have like a curfew or whatever you want to call it, you know, then, and they staying up till midnight or later, you know, and then you want them up at like 7:30 or 8, you know, you may experience that more. So, I mean, honestly, until we were pretty old, we always were almost in our room by 8 or 8:39. And then we would, you know, read in our bed for an hour or something like that and then go to bed, you know, maybe like 10 or 9:30 or something like that. But that was, I mean, that wasn't like 18, but, you know, probably 14, 15 even. We were pretty consistent around that. But then we'd get up early too. So, you know, like 7, 7:30. But I know a couple of my brothers, like Abe and Ike, they are pretty much, you know, sleep whenever they, not all the time. They're still pretty decent, but
Maggie,
they definitely
says
are more
that she wakes
more
up pretty late.
Yeah.
Now.
So mom and dad have gotten a lot less, you know, consistent with it. And I think the schedule of, you know, everyone's going to bed, everyone, you know, because all the kids are getting older. We're all older. So they got used to that. And I think that's why. So, you know, maybe try to set more of a schedule. It's hard though, I'm sure, you know, I haven't had older kids myself, but, you know, it's probably harder to implement it if they haven't already.
Right.
But again, I don't know her specific situation.
Yeah.
Amber said, I always want to start sooner the next year so we can finish sooner, but it seems like we always start later and end later. I thought this was good because, you know, we're coming into the end of the school year. You know, it's graduation for a lot of people or just the end of the year, which is awesome. My dad always had a rule because Michigan had it and we live close to Michigan, was you can't start until after Labor Day.
That was our rule too.
And, you know, mom was never like, okay, it's 180 days exactly after that. You know, now we're done. It was, we're done when she said we're done, because we do school all year round, meaning we're always learning. You're always doing things, you know, in our state, you just have to do 180 days and you don't even have to report it. But, So, but you know, you can count whatever you want. It's not, again, it's not like an exact thing, but I know in some states it is more rigorous. So if you're in one of those, then I get it. But try to, you know, don't worry about it too much if you don't have to, because they're going to learn, and that's more important than I think than just straight thing, straight, you know, exact days. Did you guys ever worry about that?
I mean, some years my mom did, but some years I don't feel like she did as much. We would always, always start after Labor Day, none before. And we would, we really took the whole month of December off, too.
Right.
Because my mom puts on a 2-week long toy drive for the community, for families who can't afford to get Christmas for their families and children. So she counted that basically as our school, because we're pricing toys, we're in the community, we're we were doing that for like 2 weeks, and then it's holidays, and then it's New Year's. So that was awesome that we could do that. And then we normally would end the year, like normal time, I think like middle, end of May.
Right. And then also Rissa's family, and you know, we were always traveling in the spring, so we also had a little bit different, but they were real involved in 4-H, which is coming up, which I know we've talked over the past, you know, things you could do, get your kids out, and if you really feel like, you know, you're not getting enough of that. I think 4-H is an awesome thing, but I'll let Rissa kind of talk more about it, but it's something that's weird because my family never did it really, but now I've been involved for many years with Rissa now.
Because we're 4-H leaders.
Yeah, which is just so funny to me. But then my siblings for the first time ever are doing chickens this year, which is pretty hilarious. But I mean, why do you think 4-H is something people should do? Or
what? Yeah, I think if you can, do it. And they really, now it's become awesome that even if you live in town or you're not able to, you know, have animals on your land, or if you don't live on a farm, there's a lot of opportunity, at least in our community, that you can lease animals, or you can, I don't know, borrow an animal from someone, meaning you go to their house a couple times a week or once a week, you set that up and you can take care of them. So that's if like your child would want to show an animal, but you, you know, don't have the ability to have one. But yeah, so I showed every animal for 10 years. Well, not every animal 10 years, but like in the 10 years, I showed every animal available. And it was super fun. My favorite was goats. I did that for 10 years. And yeah, my mom was the leader of our 4-H club, and she's on the llama barn committee. She's super involved. That's the other great thing is as parents, you can be as involved as you want. So you can, you know, just take your kids to the meetings and, you know, that could be it. Or you can, yeah, be more involved and be a 4-H leader. And my mom's crazy and does it all, basically. So, but it didn't start off that way. We started off, you know, very minimal, and then gradually we added on more and more because it was just so much fun. Yeah, it just feels like a big family. A lot of my friends showed. So, yeah, in the spring we would start prepping for fair, getting all of our animals, and it teaches you a lot of responsibility. You have to take care of your animals, you have to plan, you have to get your animal ready for the show, for fair week, you know, make sure you're feeding them what they need, and you really have to record most of that, so you're keeping track of all of that, depending on what animal it is. And then yeah, fair week, you're responsible for your animal, making sure it gets fed, and then you get to show it off, and you have to learn how to show your animal, and the more work you put into it, the more you can get out of it, so it's kind of up to you and what you want to do with it, but I think it teaches you, I mean, I learned a lot of responsibility and just, yeah, interacting with you know, friends and people. And
I think it's nice too, because it's not as crazy as like being a full-time, you know, on a full-time sports team that practices 3 times a week
right.
And 2 games on 2 different nights or whatnot. But, you know, you still have to do stuff, because some of them, if they do like showmanship, which is where they have to basically present themselves to the judge while showing the animal, there's a lot of effort put into it.
You know,
they
it's
have
a lot to learn of
work. How to show stuff. So I think there's a lot of really cool
benefits.
You can
really do a lot, yeah.
And I think one of the other cool parts is, at least in our area, it's a pretty rural area, but it's just a good, I mean, you get rough people and, you know, some crummy stuff every once in a while, but it just feels like, you know, good values overall, kind of old fashioned, you know, you have, you know, it just feels country, just kind of really what it feels like reading about the old days of America. You know, it's at least in our community, it's just a small, awesome feeling, and everyone's really helpful with each other. They always, you know, make it, it's just a big priority. So if you're looking for something to do, that might be something you could check out. And I'm sure, like, on the 4-H website, they probably have a way of finding chapters nearby, because you would join a group, you know, and then, but, you know, a lot of them are really awesome.
Yeah.
And that might be something you could try out, but that's coming up for us in July. So that's something we'll be doing always at the beginning of our summer. It's something that all the kids in the area, all the homeschoolers, always looked forward to, because they'd start getting ready for fair and everything. And that's,
well, in our family, I mean, we didn't start off this way, but by year like 7, we were camping there because it just was easier than going home every night, because we were just there literally all day, every day, and we got more and more involved and had like 6 different animals there. And so, yeah, it's just a lot of my favorite memories are from Fair Week and 4-H.
Yeah. Well, if that's something, you know, again, we talked about it last week, but we'd encourage you to try to wrap up your school homeschooling here in the next really couple weeks, hopefully by June even. And it sounds like our son's just started crying, so we're going to call it. And we hope you all have a great evening or day whenever you're listening to this. And as always, keep smiling. Thanks for listening. We hope you enjoyed this episode. I also want to thank all of those who sent us questions and comments. We also want to thank our good friends at Teaching Textbooks for making today's show possible. You can learn more about all the great math products, view a sample lesson, and check out their affordable pricing at teachingtextbooks.com. Have a wonderful week, and as always, keep smiling. Loving you, life could be a dream, sweetheart. Now every time I look at you, something is on my mind. If you do what I want you to, baby, we'd be so far. Oh, life could be a dream. If I could take you up in paradise up above, if you would tell me I'm the only one that you love, life could be a dream, sweetheart. Shaboom, shaboom, ya-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la, shaboom, shaboom, ya-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la, shaboom, shaboom, ya-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la, shaboom. Shaboom, shaboom. Ya la 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 la, shaboom shaboom. Ya la 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 la, shaboom shaboom. Ya la 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 la, shaboom. Every time I look at you, something is on my mind. If you do what I want you to, baby, we'd be so far. Life could be a dream. If I could take you up in paradise up above, if you would tell me I'm the only one that you love, life could be a dream, sweetheart. Hello, hello again, shaboom, and hoping we'll meet again, boom, shaboom. Hey, da dee ding dong, na lang na lang na lang, shaboom, ba do, ba do, ba do, ba be. Life could be a dream, life could be a dream, sweetheart. Life could be a dream. If only all my precious plans would come true, if you would let me spend my whole life loving you. Life could be a dream, sweetheart. Do you, shaboom, shaboom. Do you, shaboom, shaboom. Do you, shaboom, shaboom. Sweetheart.